This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. Presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome, everybody, to this Thursday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And we are at the end of another busy broadcast week for us. We made it.
Yeah, well, now the question is the, you know, if the last couple of weeks are any indicators, what kind of craziness are we going to come into on Monday?
Because it'll be February. February.
Well, are we going to be, I mean, February is the month of love, so.
I expect it
to ramp up quite a bit, the crazy.
Oh. Well, February is also the month of our fourth annual food drive, and I've been getting all the behind-the-scenes stuff prepped on that. We will be dropping all the major social media stuff and maps and where you can drop things. Don't do it yet. We've got some great sponsors, but Monday? Is Monday February 1st or Sunday?
Sunday is February 1st.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that'll be great. We've got some great partners. Again, all of this is benefiting Be Bold Street Ministries. Still working on, Matt's a busy guy, working on getting Matt on the show to talk a little bit about that.
Yep.
Bi-Mart savings book. Get your Bi-Mart savings book.
I got mine in the mail.
Yeah? You know, everybody gets them in the mail.
Lucky winner.
Well, only
right
if
there.
You're a member.
Yeah.
Do you still have to be a member of Bi-Mart? Because...
I think you do. It's what? It's like a one-time $5
like five
charge.
Bucks.
Yeah. And then you get the nice savings on a regular basis that come with Bi-Mart, not to mention through their savings book and your opportunity to win with Lucky Number Tuesdays. So
Yeah. Very cool. Okay. Also, just again, want to mention, because this is kind of new for us and we're kind of geeking out about it. We are on all the major streaming sites. We are on Spotify, which is how I listen to us off the air. We are on, oh my gosh, iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio. We're on all of them. Also, if you want to reach out to us, newsmakers@kykn.com. And again, if you follow us on social media, we're on all, although we're having issues with our X account, and I don't know what the deal is here.
Well, I don't know.
It's
maybe we're
me
so
off.
Maybe we're so controversial they had to put us on a lockout or something for.
It's the second time it's happened. It's very frustrating. But we also we're on Insta and we're on Facebook. If you miss Warren's news in the morning, you can catch that. It's uploaded over to Facebook. You can catch that. I put our shows out there every day. I just put the big high school sports for February is out there. So the game schedule, because we've got updates on that. Charlie McGuire is the guy behind all that. So there's so much out there. And if you have any questions about anything, and again, if you know Hunter and I personally, we have our phones on during the show.
That's right. We get occasional messages to try and interrupt
lately
us.
I've been getting a lot, and I'm like, oh, I don't have enough time because we only have an hour. And again, we've been talking about looking it up, expanding now that we're out on those streaming services. So like we were trying to come up with names. We've been doing a lot of brainstorming, so we're still doing it.
Yeah, we joke a little bit, you know, because there was that period of time when everything had its, you know, off-air shows. We were called After Dark. So,
After Dark,
but
uncensored.
1 o'clock in the afternoon isn't really after dark, is it?
It
well,
isn't.
This time of the year it could be.
Could be, although we are now on the other side of that, thank goodness, after we hit December 21st. So we're still playing around with that, and we're looking at, you know, we're just looking at all kinds of stuff, because it's a new year. 2026 is going to be lit.
Mm-hmm.
Also, well, today, Hunter, and I do celebrate this day. Today is Curmudgeon's Day, and I consider myself a curmudgeon often.
Okay.
Lately, a lot.
Well, it's all
like a grumpy old lady. I'm not like, get off my lawn, but you know, some days I'm like, really?
There's kind of a theme with today because it's also National Puzzle Day.
Which can make you a curmudgeon if you can't solve the puzzle.
That's right. And of course, Corn Chip Day.
I like corn chips.
I can do a good corn chip.
You know what I want to try? There's a whole bunch of different brands out there that are now making their tortilla chips and all their chips, and they're cooking them in beef tallow. But they're spendy. But I love beef tallow. I put that all over my face after I clean my face. So I'm like very attractive to bears, apparently.
Right. Well, and of course, we can't forget that today is Kansas Day. Because
Kansas, like Dust in the Wind, Kansas,
no,
the band?
Well, no, because in 1861, Kansas entered the United States as the 34th state.
Wow, way to go, Kansas. I'm like Dust in the Wind. Carry on, Wayward Son. You know, come on. Yeah, lots of cool stuff happened today. I like this one. Because of what we were talking about yesterday with Representative Ilhan Omar. On this date in 2019, Jussi Smollett claimed that he was attacked in Chicago by two violent MAGA voters. This is MAGA country! That was proven to be a hoax.
So wait a second. I'm sitting here going, Ilhan Omar should have waited and done this on the anniversary.
Right?
And had the guy put on the red hat and yell out, this is MAGA country, because that way when it's shown to be a hoax... Now she can say, no, it was an incident just to commemorate Jussi Smollett and all the, you know, harassment he went through.
Right. It was in solidarity, man. Solidarity. I got to say real quick, because I don't want to spend any more time on this woman. She drives me insane. I did watch a body language video on it, though, and kind of talking about it and how there was some. He didn't come right out and say this is staged. Mm-hmm. That seems to be where the sort of the general consensus is going on this. But if you watch it and he breaks down the body, like sort of normal, natural human responses when something like happens to you, shock response, which she did have. But then it's kind of a freeze and a like, what the hell just happened? And then you're like, am I okay? And none of that happened.
Yeah, as a elected representative, I'm sure that they have had at least some coaching or training in what to do in that kind of a scenario. And she went against all of what she would have been told to do. It would have been get the clothing off that is now, you know, contaminated with whatever the substance was, get cleaned off, get it washed. I mean, even if you're working in a industry where they have chemicals, you're taught this happens, you do this. And everything she did. The other part of it, I think that the guy was initially charged with a third degree assault, and I believe that was a local charge. Well, now the DOJ is looking to charge him, and I kind of go, now that the DOJ is involved, if this guy knows things, he is going to squeal.
I think so. I think so. Yeah. So anyway, I don't want to spend any more time on that. Lots of people talking about it, but it does seem, again, like the general consensus is moving over towards, yeah, fake. Mm-hmm. I'm not even a very good fake. They didn't even try. Well, all right. What? Do you have more to say?
I'm just going to all of these things that we're seeing on the internet right now, whether it's, Pretty getting his darker complexion. I actually saw a meme because that came out that, you know, there's this pale white guy,
head and a big nose.
So they gave him a little bit of a tan and they, you know, lessen the nose. And it said, you know, CNN version. And then the next one over was the Netflix version where he was a black guy with completely.
And the memes, again, the right really does meme really well. The left can't meme. And they're the one that I think I sent it to you. It's Elizabeth Warren very earnestly reading the obituary. And he was so kind. And, you know, oh, my gosh, please turn on the waterworks. And then, of course, the actual video that has come out. I believe the BBC has verified it. Again, how much do you trust the BBC? Mm-hmm. A couple of people have. Some people still have some questions. To me, it looks like it. The left is now screaming that it's an AI fake. I'm leaning towards it's probably real, but the juxtaposition of her, you know, with this, they might as well have had mournful violin music playing and then him kicking in things and saying, effing arrest me and all this. So,
let's, you know, put the video aside. It has come out and actually being reported that he had an interaction with ICE in that time frame when this video would have been from. Mm-hmm. It resulted in having a broken rib. So they've admitted to that much. I watch the video. I look at the guy. He looks very similar, but at the same time, in my head, I'm sitting here going, a lot of these soy boys all look the same anyway, whether it's a receding hairline or a man bun. I mean, those are like the primary differences.
You know, there is a look. There is. There really is. I know. Yeah, I love the AI makeover they gave him. It's like they gave him like orthodontia to widen out his jaw. They widened out the whole head. And it's like he was too ugly to be a martyr. The whole thing is just ridiculous. But I'm waiting because, I mean, the left needs this. They do. And there's a lot of really good analysis out there online if you're on X. And I do, again, have that list of great accounts to follow. Because the analysis out there is really pretty fascinating. Like I said, the breakdown, you know, the body language experts, there's some really interesting deep dives into this. And so, you know, wherever you come down on it, the left, of course, is losing their mind. But again, and I refuse to use the word protest anymore. These are not protesters. Mm-hmm. These are not protests. These are activists, agitators. A lot of them are paid. They're very professional. This has roots that go back very, very far. The tactics that they are using. There's a Green Beret out on X that was posting that he sees this. He saw this stuff in Fallujah, the same tactics.
Well, and that's been the biggest thing is, in any kind of scenario, even similar to this, it's always been about find the person that can represent the you know, the frail nobody, you know, but then they end up being the ones that hurt. I think the only thing that's really missing in the, for the mainstream news between the two people in Minnesota right now is they need it to be a minority. They need it. Yeah. A Hispanic legal immigrant in this scenario would be their bread and butter at this point.
But you're not seeing them out there. They're all the awfuls. You see tons of them everywhere, and then the whistles and everything else. And I do have some interesting information, because everyone's like, why the whistles and why only at these riots and these things? Why not at LGBTQ protests? Why are they just here? There's a reason.
Yeah, well, let's take a break and explain why that is.
Let's do that. Good call.
That's
good call,
right,
Hunter. All right, we're going to take our first break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and your friendly neighborhood Bi-Mart.
All right, so this gentleman out on X, he is a CIA NSA contractor, whistleblower, AI, blah, 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 space warfare tech. So he said there's a clear reason why these demonstrations rely on whistles, air horns, and constant loud noise in the videos you're seeing. It's so hard to watch them because they're just, it's ear splitting to listen to it, even just on a video. So I'm always like moving the volume down, and it's like,
And that's the thing. I'm sitting here, you know, with what occurred with Pretty, I wanted to hear the audio so I can hear when things like gun or when the shots were fired, this and that. But with there's just this constant whistling as you're watching them.
Now, I know that you can isolate sounds, and you can, like in Adobe Audition, you can go in and say, find this sound and then just remove it. I mean, I should try that. Maybe I'll try that, because, I mean, we have to do, you know, voice production and production all the time, so we have those tools. I don't know why anybody's not doing it unless you really need to hear, because you want to hear how horrible it is for these ICE agents. He goes on to say, you rarely see this level of disruptive noise during protests about climate change or LGBTQ. You know, you hear the drum circles and the dumb chants and stuff like that. Those sudden sharp sounds deliberately trigger the acoustic startle response, a fast, involuntary brainstem reflex that causes muscle tightening, spiked heart rate, and a surge in adrenaline. Repeated exposure to these noises fatigues certain neural pathways while keeping the nervous system in a state of chronic high alert. This drains mental resources, forcing the brain to shift focus from complex thinking to basic threat detection and survival instincts. Which is kind of what you're seeing there. If you know, there very well may have been mistakes made in this in the Pretty shooting. There probably were. Does it rise to the level of criminal charges? No, because it's basically did any of them have a reasonable threat?
Yeah.
So I don't think it does. Again, not an expert, just my opinion. But these tactics are meant to do just this, to keep it constantly. I mean, can you imagine the stress these people are under? Constantly. It's constant.
Well, you watch any of these videos, and whether it's these last couple that resulted in shootings, or even some of the previous ones where ICE agents pulled their weapons, because there was one where literally they went up to the car and tried to pull somebody out, and then, you know, the ICE agent shoved them back. When they came back, he pulled the weapon to keep them at bay. And I'm going, this is typical police training. The thought process is not there. This is automatic training reaction. These are trained reactions of what we're seeing.
Yeah. So you also then you combine it with just the fact that these people, number one, with they're obnoxious, they're in their faces, they're rude, they're jerks. Mm-hmm. And that's not a strong enough word, but I can't say that. I have to say that on the After Hours show. Because my opinion of these people is about as low as they're just scum. And so they're doing this on purpose. So they're demoralizing, they're insulting, they're in their faces, they're blowing whistles. So this is a potent acute stressor. It activates the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal, the HPA axis, and the sympathetic nervous system, flooding the body with cortisol, stress hormone, and adrenaline, fight or flight. Prolonged exposure like this can impair prefrontal cortex function, the brain region responsible for rational decision-making, impulse control, and judgment. And here we go again, combined with the sheer irritation factor that these low-tech but effective protest disruption tactics deliberately exploiting well-documented human physiological reactions to unpredictable loud noises. This is not organic. This is not, oh, somebody just said, let's bring a whistle. That'll be fun. These are tactics.
Yeah.
warfare tactics.
Well, there is a reason in sports, football, basketball, and soccer and others, that they utilize the whistle to end a play because it is an immediate attention grabber and gets an immediate reaction. So I'm sitting here going, these people that are out watching for ice with a whistle in hand, they're not doing it to warn people. They're doing it to, incite the situation.
Yes, yes. And so this gentleman goes on to say, these aren't spontaneous or random events. They're organized tactics. Roughly 80% of the people protesting likely have no idea they're being used as unwitting cannon fodder by their own side, placed in harm's way to manufacture outrage when things inevitably escalate. The goal is escalation. And again, we've talked about this from the left's perspective, where we are horrified by loss of life.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tactic. So this is horrifying. He said, in plain terms, they're keeping police officers on edge, priming them for overreaction. Incidents like the Preddy and Good case are often exactly what the tactic is designed to provoke. Tragically, it's usually someone else, not the person instigating, who ends up getting seriously hurt or killed. And it kind of brings me back to all these Hollywood morons that are out there, like that idiot from Breaking Bad, the guy who owned El Pollo Loco. I forget his name. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And it doesn't matter. You know, it's time for revolution. Yeah, behind your gated walls, dude. You don't have to get out there. And there's no skin in the game for you. You'll send out your fans and everybody else. And that's what this is. There's people out on the front lines blowing these whistles furiously, thinking they're righteous and doing the right thing. And they are merely cannon fodder.
Well, I just sit here and you look at these two events in Minneapolis. And when you realize how many different camera angles we are getting, so literally what you are having is just massive groups of people walking around with a camera in their hand and a whistle in their mouth, trying to create something that they can catch on video as a gotcha moment. Mm-hmm. And that's the clout they are looking for. They're not out there to protect anybody. They're not out there to, support or peacefully protest. They are out there to incite, escalate the scenario using these two tactics so they can be the one to catch it on film when something goes sideways.
Right. And that's really the whole point of this. Mm-hmm. And there's videos out there on it as well to show the example. And you have to look at that. And again, these are human beings. These are men who have families, who want to go home to their wives. They're not out there hunting people down on the street. And frankly, if you believe that, I mean, there's no point in even talking to somebody like that. There's no discussion. There's no presenting facts. There's nothing. These people are gone.
Well, I just sit here and go, there is a portion of our society today, and you can see it reading through Facebook posts, who believe that ICE was just created by Donald Trump to go after random people.
Yeah, that's what it. If you listen to them talk and you have the man on the street, which are getting more and more dangerous for our independent journalist folks to get out there and do that. But the level of ignorance, because it doesn't matter. It doesn't. They don't have to think. They're not paid to think, because a lot of them are paid and a lot of them aren't. Mm-hmm. And it's just this swarm. I mean, go watch the James O'Keefe video. As far as you know, they just come out of nowhere, and it looks like The Walking Dead.
Well, what's been revealed in the last few days is they have a very intricate network that has access to things that normal people don't have access to, aka police databases or something along those lines. And they are very quick to. I mean, I saw a video of another person who was literally driving around and was being chased by somebody for over an hour and is in this neighborhood. And the neighbors came out and told them, you better get out of here. Your license plate's in an ICE database. Like, we're not ICE. We're.
Oh, the young woman, Heather or something. Yeah. And then when you look at the video, and this is what's really jarring and really gets you right in the gut. Those are just residential neighborhoods that looked like a neighborhood in Salem.
Yeah. These are just,
It's not just in downtown Portland or downtown Minneapolis anymore.
But it has to tell you about the network, because this car was following them around and obviously telling people where they were going to be, because when they got into this neighborhood, number of people were out on the streets, out of their houses, waiting to confront them. And this is happening to random people now. We saw the video of the guy who literally they stopped him and they made him open his trunk to see what was in the back of his SUV. And it wasn't even a black, it was a white SUV.
And it's these purity tests. It's the struggle session. You will agree with us. If not, we're going to beat you to a bloody pulp. And if that guy hadn't just sort of cowered and groveled, he probably would have had something happen to him.
Yeah, show us your ID. Show us what's in your car. This could happen to your wife. This could happen to anybody. Your child. I mean, you just imagine if you're not driving the right vehicle at this point, these crazies could come after you.
That's why this has to be clobbered and smashed. And that's why a lot of us are like, come on, come on.
Yeah, bring the hammer down. Put an example out there that says this behavior is not tolerated. This harassment, and, whatever it is.
Well, it's psychological warfare. Mm-hmm. And so honestly, it should be determined that this is terrorism. But oh my gosh, if you say that, you're a terrible person. But again, it's very fluid. We talked a little bit yesterday about the conversations between Trump and Walls and Fry. Mm-hmm. And you know, kind of legitimizing them, I'm very concerned. But we're keeping a wait and see and seeing what happens. But bottom line is, this is happening at 15 below in Minneapolis. What do you think it's going to be when it's 80 and it's in Salem or Portland?
Yeah, it's we're not too far off. And if it's not squashed, an example made, it is just going to spread. Especially, I don't want another summer of love.
I mean, no,
that is, I worry about what the future holds if this isn't nipped in the bud right now.
I agree. I do too. Never want to go through that again. Absolutely not. All right, we're coming up on the bottom of the hour. So we're going to take a news break. We got lots more to talk about, a little more local stuff. There's stuff happening in Salem. So let's talk about it. We'll be back.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
All righty, welcome back, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us on this, our Friday. Although the work of this never stops. I mean, I feel like we work whenever we just need to work.
That's how this game works. I mean, we don't get to decide when crazy things happen.
It's not a 9-to-5. It's not. Okay, so a little closer to home, Salem City Council on Monday, they moved forward with repealing the downtown business parking tax. We talked last week about the revenues that they've been getting, which have been pretty decent. And so they've done that. And I got to give a shout out, Salem Business Journal at salembusinessjournal.org. Been doing some really good reporting. Mm-hmm. I know Jesse Pione does a lot of that. He does a lot of videos and things like that. There's pretty comprehensive articles out here. And they're not behind a paywall. What?
Isn't that nice?
I know. So we can talk about them. Salem City Council, from the article, voted unanimously Monday night to advance the repeal of the downtown parking district tax, a long-running assessment paid by businesses in the downtown core to help fund parking-related services. They said the change is now feasible because Salem's paid on-street parking program is bringing in more revenue than projected, enough to support downtown services without requiring a separate business assessment. And I know from just anecdotally and talking to people offline, this is a good thing.
Yes.
This is a good thing.
It's, and kudos to Salem for kind of putting it to the forefront, rushing it through, getting it repealed. And it sounds like even issuing some refunds to the businesses because they are well ahead of projections. And I'm glad.
Yes. And so this is a good thing because, I mean, just being a business owner in downtown Salem has been rough for about the past 6 years or so. COVID, I hate even talking about that, really did a number on them. So, again, I know a lot of people were like, well, I'm never going downtown again. I think I was kind of in that same camp. I'm going to go where they have free parking. But it seems like a lot of people are like, no, we're okay. We're going to go do this. And so the money's coming in. So that's a good thing.
Yep. And, of course, talking about the Salem Business Journal, they also put out an article about we've been hearing some stuff about this Battle Creek Heights sign being removed.
So I guess the neighbors, and I don't have it in front of me, Hunter, I think you do. There was a sign. It's obviously Battle Creek is a neighborhood. It's out south. And they raised a lot of money. And this is just from my reading of it. It's been a couple of days. They raised a lot of money. They kind of instigated and did all this themselves, got a lot of the work done, got a new sign. And then, oh, no, the sign police came in and said no. And so now it's kind of just stopped.
Well, and so virtually the old sign was very worn out, vandalized. Yeah. So they They got together, they removed it, and they were planning on replacing it with a new steel sign that the neighbors and the people that live there are saying looked really cool, really nice. But it sounds like it required a zoning adjustment with a fee of almost $2,000 to keep it in place.
Oh, okay. Well, and I know a lot of businesses, the sign code, and again, a lot of these things make it difficult to open businesses, to do things, because you've got to jump through a lot of hoops. You got to pay fees. You got to meet this requirement. You got to meet that requirement. And then if you don't, or you take it upon yourself to do what these neighbors did, no, you stop.
See, and that's the thing. I can deal with a sign requirement in an industrial area. You don't want one giant. I mean, you can imagine what a big corporation like a Walmart or a McDonald's or something else could do to overshadow every other business in the area if they're allowed to just put up some giant, you know, sign over the road. So I understand the regulations requirements in that, but this is in a neighborhood, and this is something the neighborhood wants to do. And I'm not seeing any of the people that live in that neighborhood complaining about the sign.
No.
And I'm kind of going, this is something that the city should really stay out of. Unless there is somebody in that neighborhood that just is like, I can't believe you would replace that with a nice steel sign that looks cool.
Or if it's like blocking line of sight, if people are trying to get out and they can't see to the left of them, and it's a hazard, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, there are things like that, but this is sort of a welcome to the neighborhood sign. I don't know. We may talk when we have Mayor Hoy on, talk a little bit more about that with her. But to me, a lot of this is just really, come on.
Well, it just sounds like something like that sounds like a money grab, you know, nearly $2,000 for the permit to put this out there. I'm going, there's intersections in this community where there's parking where you can't even see around the cars that are parked there as you're trying to pull into traffic. There's a lot worse things than a sign in a neighborhood.
Yeah, exactly. I saw this story the other day again about Salem Kaiser Public Schools. This one made me scratch my head. It more than 1,000 educators in Salem Kaiser will get intensive training this week on topics. Okay, and here's where I stopped. Including phonics instruction and the science behind how students learn how to read. Really? Don't already know that? Didn't we all learn with phonics?
Well, this is...
Sounding out words, Sally, Dick, and Jane, SRA, the Bob books.
So this is happening yesterday and today at our elementary schools.
Okay.
They are all closed for this training. And I sit there and go, you know, I think with the education you need and the certifications and the degrees that you need to be licensed as an educator, I would think that that would be like a 101 level course of understanding how to read and how to teach people to read.
Well, don't they do, because they kind of got away from phonics for a long time. And again, phonics proven over time. What is it, like the McGuffey reader or whatever, back in like the Little House on the Prairie, you had your slate and your McGuffey reader. It's pretty basic on how you learn. You look at them. I remember you sound out words, and that's how my son learned how to read, sounding out words. And then pretty much you build, and you just build, and you build, and then build on that.
Yep.
So it seems weird, and that's why the headline struck me as weird. They're looking at phonics instruction, and then the science behind it. Because what is this whole language? Is that the new latest shiny thing that we've got in schools?
I don't know. You know, one thing that we know about what's occurred in schools over the last couple of decades is they've taken lesson plans from these grifters that come up with the most complicated way to teach something. It's like whatever the math thing is.
Common Core.
I'm just sitting here going, whenever my kids say I need help with my math, I take one look at it. I said, let me show you the real way to do this.
The real way to do it. Even, you know, even me, math atheist over here, I don't believe in math, can do it the old fashioned way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just sit here and go, I would say these are grifters who literally get these massive paychecks from these schools to implement these programs that are more confusing to the educators than they are to the students. And how do you teach them you don't understand? I mean, you know,
well, they're too busy teaching them about social justice and encouraging them to go out and take time off of school to go protest this, that, or the other thing. Because that seems to be clearly where the priorities lie.
So I'm going to go one step further here. So talking about Salem Kaiser schools being closed, I guess they are all closed on Friday for a grading day. So middle school, high school.
Okay.
So but I sit here and you're seeing this push on social media nationally of a day off on Friday, tomorrow. You know, walk out, don't go to your job, don't go to your work, don't go to school, take the day off because it's in protest of ICE. And I sit here and go, So Salem Kaiser is giving all their students a day off. Teachers are probably free to go out and you know, hold a sign if they feel like it. So I'm going,
is Salem
Kaiser going to say that, you know, we had a massive walkout for, you know, get ice out
probably.
Of our...
You know what I'm doing? Aside from, I have to go to the dentist tomorrow, but I love my dentist. She's great. I'm shopping tomorrow. I'm spending money in my local economy tomorrow, because to hell with these protests and these boycotts, whatever.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think tomorrow is going to be a busy day, because I'll be in here in the studio running the board for first Warren Franklin out at Westlake Promotions at the fairgrounds for the RV show, followed by Jeff Morgan being out there. At the Highway Trailer Center's booth at the RV show this Friday. So I think that's going to be a jam-packed place to be on Friday.
Lots of money going to be spent on RVs out there.
Let's drive this economy on Friday. Let's show them. You know, and seeing these just kind of thrown out polls. I saw one, I think it was Coin6 or something, put out a poll of, do you believe, you know, that people should be legally in this country? And overwhelmingly...
Yeah.
It's yes, and I'm kind of going, so virtually it's the loud minority that is screaming from the rooftops about this.
And that's why the majority that believe as we do, the normal people, which there are more, need to speak up.
And go out and visit a Cozy's or an Adam's Rib or a Chira's and, you know, end your day with a wonderful meal after doing some shopping.
With a gabagool. Come on, it does not get any better than that. Yeah, so all these people taking these polls, I mean, it's clear most people know that it is a loud, loud, vocal, obnoxious minority that are out there. And again, they're intimidating people, like you mentioned that guy, and there have been other people as well. Because you look like you're with eyes, and it's like, you look at them and you're incredulous about it, but they're getting more unhinged and more dangerous.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of people are like, that guy should have just told him to go, you know, whatever. Yeah. And, but you know, you think about it from that guy's perspective. Americans don't expect to be treated that way by fellow Americans. It's not normal.
Well, and especially when you're literally in that scenario, but you're surrounded by five other people all holding their cameras waiting for you to say, you know, F off, get out of my way.
Right, a mob is very intimidating, physical mob.
I mean, and that's the thing, is these are the same people that would confront women and children in grocery stores for not wearing a mask, going the wrong way down the aisle, and they've just ramped up this behavior to 10 now, and that's what makes me nervous, is it is the vocal minority doing this, but they're not only just vocal now, they're also violent and a bit unhinged.
Yeah, and so if you've got what's-her-face, Randy Weingarten, who was over at in Davos and, you know, all down with the agenda, but she's heads the NEA, and so you've got this trickling down to school districts all over the place. Keep an eye on the news tomorrow to see what Salem Kaiser is promoting, because as taxpayers and parents, I wouldn't be okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
If they're doing that. If it's just a quiet day and it's an in-service day and nothing happens, we'll see.
All right. And right before we go to the break, we should probably mention, at least we know that most of these young Gen Zers that are out causing havoc aren't doing it under the influence of alcohol.
No, and that's a broader. I want to talk about that, because I thought that was interesting that Gen Z is avoiding booze, but there's why is Gen Z avoiding booze? And there's a broader sort of social commentary on this that I think is important, because it doesn't bode well.
Mm-mm.
If you kind of dig a little deeper into it, you think, oh, that's a good thing. They're not getting drunk. They're not doing whatever. But I want to look at the why. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they're not going to be under the influence if they're out there protesting. But let's look at the why. So let's go ahead and take a break. I'm going to go pour a glass of wine. No, I'm not. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by the Perlin Mill in Cozy's New York Deli.
All righty, righty. Get that gabagool and have a nice glass of Malbec with it tonight. What a nice way to relax. Well, and then you can get cannoli there, too.
Only if you're a boomer, Gen X, or a millennial. If you're a Gen Z, you're probably not doing something
not. You'll get everything but the vino. This is interesting. Jesse Kelly tweeted this out. If Gen Z is avoiding booze, and you got to look at this chart, Gen Z and alcohol, a fading bond. Boomers, 25.9 billion alcohol sales. Gen X, which is me, 23.14 billion. Millennials, 23.45 billion. Mm-hmm. Gen Z, 3.13. They're not drinking. So why? Mm-hmm. And that's an interesting conversation because we were talking off the air. You're a millennial, right? Are you a millennial or are you late Gen X?
I am a late Gen X.
Okay, because I'm an early Gen X. Actually, I'm technically the end of the baby boom, but there's a cohort called Generation Jones, which is neither boomer nor Gen. I'm in the middle. I identify a lot more with X. Every Friday night, keggers.
Oh, yeah. I will blow
there the... were more high school games where we were all sloshed and obnoxious. I mean, which is not a good thing, but you're in high school, whatever. Yeah. I mean, it was the keggers party at the Moon Tower, man, and everybody meeting out there. And yeah, there was pot and weed. It was not like today's, but so everybody, but it was social. Yeah. And that is the key.
Well, and see, and that's the other thing to me. I'm sitting here kind of going, I did plenty of drinking during my high school years. But there was also a little bit of a leniency. Right. I was telling you off air that I have at least four stories I can sit here and say I could have gotten a minor possession of alcohol really, really easy. I wasn't drunk, but there was alcohol in my possession. And the police officers knew it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they kind of said, you know, if you're not driving, we're going to kind of let you off the hook on this.
I had that. Go home right now. You're kind of like borderline. I think I was out at a Kaiserfest or something. I don't know. Again, in my 20s, we were in our 20s. I mean, and we would all do that. I was the same thing. MIP and a party would get busted and the cops would come in. Minors over there, adults over there. And you're like, which side do I say I'm on? Which one am I going to get in less trouble? So all of that, all those sort of rites of passage where you did that, where you had that one time where you got so bombed that you're never doing it again. And again, it was bonding, gathering together, getting together with friends. That's how guys and girls started dating and getting together. And that's just not happening. And so we talked about that because this generation too, they were basically locked in their homes, which we all knew was a bad. Well, most of us did, I guess. And
so, yeah,
not everybody did.
Well, yeah, I look at a few elements in this, and I can see it with my adult children. They'll have occasionally New Year's or Halloween or something. They'll have friends over to have a few drinks, but they don't go out and drink on a daily basis. They don't really even get tanked.
Right, which more, is good. That is good.
It's more kind of sit
and mishear us. We're not promoting that.
It's you know, sit in a, you know, a circle and drink and talk and play some games. And I'm kind of going, okay, but I think a big part of it is in these formative years they were told stay away from everybody and everything.
Yep. And it's all dangerous.
And then the other part has been the legalization of marijuana. So now a lot of times I see these kids getting together and they're kind of, you know, smoke a little pot and play some video games.
Right.
You know, sometimes just online where they're, you know, when I was young, we had the Nintendo. We referred to it as the no-friendo because you sat there and you played by yourself.
Oh, really?
Well, now every game is online. So these kids are sitting by themselves, but they're interacting with people.
So they're sort of connecting, but really not really.
Yeah. They're connecting with a voice in their head. Yeah, a voice in their head.
Yeah, so a lot of this thread is really interesting. A lot of people are saying, well, it's too expensive. Mm-hmm. You just can't afford it now because everything's
so
expensive.
That's the other part of it. Pot is a lot cheaper now.
It's a lot cheaper. You can get it anywhere. There's a million just in Salem. They're like on every corner. I don't know that they're doing necessarily harder drugs, but I mean, you can, if you want to sort of zen out, pop a gummy or whatever, and there you go. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. But again, it's the social interaction. It's the bonfire at the beach. It's the kegger. It's everybody. It's like, well, of course, if you've watched, to me, Dazed and Confused, which is one of my favorite movies of all time, that slice of life on the last day of school. That's what it was like.
Yeah. Well, I go back to my 20s where it was, you know, you go out into the woods and you have a big party and there's drinking and pot and everything else. And it's kind of going, they don't do that anymore.
No,
they shut all of that down. And it's like they just are more than happy to not interact and just kind of be alone.
This doesn't bode well for us as a society. So you talk about too, like, remember when Of course, we have that in common. So you connect up with people when you go to high school reunions or you see people, and you've got those cultural touchstones in common. Like, we all remember where we were, you know, if we were watching the last episode of MASH in 1983. And then streaming came in, and so you no longer have those water cooler moments of, oh my God, did you see what happened on Friends last night? Or did you see the season finale of Lost or whatever? So you've got streaming. So we don't have that. So that's another fracture, a schism. You don't have kids getting together, you know, sitting there a little, when you get a little bit buzzed, you're like, oh, you wax philosophical and you start talking about deep stuff and you maybe disagree or don't disagree. This is not good for society.
Oh, yeah. I always joke that when I was in my early 20s, I should have just written a book with all the philosophy I'd come out.
You were brilliant.
Drinking, right? When I'm out drinking with my friends, and it's kind of going,
oh my gosh.
The other element of this that I think is a big part of it is there is a societal push on these young people today to differentiate and be different than your parents because, you know, yep. especially if your parent is a conservative and votes right. red, they're obviously wrong and you need to be the polar opposite because you love and care about people, even if your mom and dad are just horrendous people that you should barely even talk to. So I wonder how much of that is it because these kids grow up seeing mom and dad will have family over or friends over and have some drinks and dinner and things like that. So I wonder if that's a part of the lack of alcohol consumption as well.
Could be. And then you've got, you know, the whole therapy generation where you've got therapists and, you know, go no contact because it's just you have to think about yourself. So they just completely cut their parents off, which is a devastating trend again. Mm-hmm. So that we've identified three really societally devastating trends.
Yep.
And I don't know where a lot of this started. I mean, COVID certainly exacerbated it and made it worse because you've got, you know, being around other people is dangerous. You could kill grandma. So there's that kind of stuff. People still do. I think it's human nature sometimes to want to escape from things, to kind of numb it all out, you know, comfortably numb.
Yeah.
I've always doing it in other ways.
Yeah. I've always been one to sit here and say, don't drink to get drunk because you're trying to forget, because that just makes things worse. But
yep.
knowing what I know, you have a few drinks, you're out with friends, and you get more social.
Yes.
If you're just sitting around smoking pot, you get less social. And I'm going, is that kind of the problem? We are moving so far away from face-to-face interactions. I mean, you go out to dinner, you see people sitting across the table texting one another rather than conversing. And I'm just kind of going, we have gotten so far away from the human interactions, which is such a dire need in the human soul.
So then you tie that back to what's happening in these cities with these protests and saying basically that ICE agents are not human anymore. We don't have those interactions. It's very easy for then people to be manipulated, to be whipped into a frenzy, to be able to go out on the streets and do this because they simply don't see you as a human being.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're not relating on that good base human to human level anymore.
So in the last 30 seconds, I need to ask you, are you noticing that you can't get as much gas in your car anymore?
I know. And there's this poor lady. She's calling it all out. She said under Biden, she was able to get $90 in gas. And now under Trump, it's only 57. What the heck is going on?
I didn't know Trump had the power to make gas tanks smaller. I'm guessing it's satire, but I don't know anymore. At this point, the line between satire and reality is so blurred that I can't tell if this is a legit angry woman about not getting as much gas in her car as she thinks she is, or if she's
or
joking
it's a joke.
About it. Yeah.
One will never
Something
know.
To ponder
One
over the weekend.
That's it for us this week, everybody. Go out, have a great, great day. Have a nice glass of wine tonight. Enjoy yourself. We'll see you next week.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.